This is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. As expected in Iowa on Tuesday, Democrats and independents who defected to the GOP long enough to cast a vote put their support behind Ron Paul in significant numbers. Electoral statistician Nate Silver at 538.com found that 48% of independents and Democrats who voted in the Iowa caucuses voted for Ron Paul. Entrance polls also found that he won 18% of the evangelical vote, 19% of the Tea Party vote, and 48% of the 17 to 29-year-old vote. Joining this conservative cross-section of Paul supporters in spirit, though not yet at the polls, is a surprising number of prominent progressives. Paul has been an outspoken critic of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He is opposed to a war with Iran, and he decries the bloated military budget. For this, he has been praised as a, quote, peace candidate by Just Foreign Policy's Robert Naiman, who wrote that Paul's Iowa success indicates a coming-out party for the new Republican peace movement. A growing number of progressives, including Robert Scheer, Tom Hartman, and Glenn Greenwald, have also defended Ron Paul as a figure to be respected for his consistent criticism of U.S. imperialism and economic policy. However, there is no broad consensus on the controversial candidate. His long ties with extreme conservatives on social issues and his opposition to the government safety net make him too dangerous for many progressives to flirt with. Paul is on record as opposing the Civil Rights Act and disseminating racist newsletters. He is also a staunch anti-abortionist and has signed on to Personhood USA's pledge to back rights for fertilized eggs in women's bodies. But Sam Husseini, writing at votepact.org, thinks the entire debate needs to be shifted because major party candidates will not be saviors of the disaffected left or right. He calls for people of conscience from both sides of the political spectrum to coalesce on common ground, electing independent and third-party candidates and shaking up the political system. Sam Husseini is founder of votepact.org, and he joins me now on the phone. Welcome to Uprising, Sam.
Good to be with you, Sonali.
Well, as I understand, you're not as much backing Ron Paul as you are for progressives finding common ground with Paul's conservative supporters, because he seems to be this candidate who is attracting the disaffected Republican voters, maybe in the same way that Nader attracted disillusioned Democratic voters. Is that accurate?
That's somewhat accurate, although Nader, you know, ran as a third party or as an independent.
I think
the more proper analogy might be Dennis Kucinich, for example, who was stayed in the Democratic Party but gave voice to a lot of the same concerns that you know, are against many of the establishment principles that sort of coalesce the establishment of both the Democratic and Republican parties. So looking at it that way, if you in effect have somebody like Ron Paul agreeing with Kucinich and with Nader and Cynthia McKinney on a whole host of issues. It's not just foreign policy and endless wars and so on. It's also things like civil liberties. It's also the drug war. It's also a whole plethora of economic issues, the Wall Street bailouts, the Federal Reserve, obviously, although, you know, Paul's remedies might be more extreme than simply democratizing in some manner the monetary policy. So, you know, if you total it all up, it's a good deal of the core issues. The problem that of course, many people face is that many progressive faces that a lot of Ron Paul's policies, for example, opposition to the Civil Rights Act, staunchly anti-choice positions, and so on, are obviously highly, highly problematic. So what I've been advocating is a coalescing around the issues that, you know, that progressives and conservatives like Ron Paul agree on, and having a programmatic agenda. I mean, if we were to, you know, for example, have something like a Ron Paul Dennis Kucinich or a Ron Paul Cynthia McKinney ticket, and this would be a voting strategy, because what you would do is solve the infamous spoiler argument. Most people do not even consider voting for a third party because they say, I got to vote for the Democrat because I don't want the Republican, or conversely, I got to vote for the Republican because I don't want the Democrat. And they don't even consider voting for an independent or third party candidate. So what I'm saying is that people who know and trust each other can team up and siphon off votes in pairs and therefore solve the spoiler argument. You know, they can be relatives, they can be neighbors, they can be debating partners, and so on. It's both a coalescing and a voting strategy along specific issues.
And yet, Ron Paul is such a difficult figure for progressives to embrace. I mean, he's a difficult figure for people of color and women to embrace, which is, you know, at least 50% of the population. I mean, if he had his way with the Civil Rights Act, Cynthia McKinney wouldn't be allowed, as a black woman, wouldn't be, restaurants would have the right to say no to serving her because he thinks that, you know, he's such an extreme libertarian. He thinks that private businesses have the right to serve whoever they want and do not have to essentially practice racial equality. I mean,
that's correct. That's stating his position accurately, and that leads him to different positions at different times. I mean, he was, you know, infamously outspoken in terms of the Islamic Community Center, you know, just outright, you know, insane for government officials to be making pronouncements. This is a subject of independent community center, a private organization, and you government officials have no business, you know, voicing anything on this. So, I mean, there's a consistency to his position. I mean, you know, as distasteful as I find many of his positions, the consistency is refreshing. I mean, for example, he's staunchly anti-abortion rights, but he in some measure, he's like a seamless garment. You know, he's against the death penalty. He's against war. He can lay some measure of claim to claim that he is pro-life in a way that a figure like Dick Cheney, you know, cannot.
But then you get when you get into the
war, who's pro-death penalty?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm not asking progressives to push aside their issues. I'm not asking socialists to, you know, suddenly to embrace libertarianism, nor am I asking libertarianism to embrace socialism. I'm saying, is there an opportunity for a divergent coalition of anti-establishment forces to say, here's our agenda. Let's have a ticket. It doesn't even have to be Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich or Cynthia McKinney. It can be some other people. But I think that the Paul candidacy gives us an impetus to see an opportunity to say, look, we agree on the Wall Street bailouts, the wars, the military budgets, the massive bases overseas, the drug war, which you know does horribly affect communities of color, and all of these issues. Let's just do those in 4 years. You know, let's not elect people and then hope that that Obama does the right thing or hope that Ron Paul or anybody else does the right thing. Let's say this is our programmatic agenda. We want you to get the heck, you know, out of these military bases. We want to end the Wall Street bailouts. We want real accountability for the financial system. We want to end civil liberties infringements and restore a meaningful constitutional system.
So
that,
Sam,
that's a lot to do in 4 years.
Sure. And so in progressives making these vote pacts with conservatives with whom they have common ground, are you saying that they may, just by that pact and by diverting enough votes away from the major party candidates, push the debate enough to the point where the major party candidates feel that they have to take strong stands against war and other issues?
Not really. I mean, all of these things have been, you know, I mean, this was my problem with Ralph Nader's candidacy. Ralph Nader never put forward a strategy of how I'm going to win, how I'm going to become president. Ralph Nader's strategy was to cause enough headaches for the Democrats so that they'll start embracing progressive positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ended in disaster, and I said so at the time. I don't think that you do this by appealing to the Democratic Party. You accomplish something by building coalitions with people that you disagree with but have significant common ground with. And in the long run, you will influence and change. So I'm saying build a new structure. Have conversations now and debates now and coalesce around issues that you agree with, and I think that it'll materialize into a voting system and candidacies that will materialize, hopefully this time around and hopefully into the future. I mean, elections are movement killers. I mean, right now we have the Occupy movement, And I think that it's going to go through, or I fear that it's going to go through, a similar process of the anti-war movement. The anti-war movement was incredibly powerful in 2003. They had global protests on February 15, 2003. And over the several years after that, the anti-war movement continuously did things that, in effect, bolstered Democratic candidates. They had major protests in D.C. before every election in 2004, 2006, and 2008. They, in effect, got co-opted by the Democratic Party establishment. And I very much fear that Occupy is going to be in a similar straitjacket when you start coming up against an election and you get into the mentality of lesser evilism.
Or the other option is that the occupiers may simply boycott the election, may simply not vote. And a lot of young people before President Obama's election were essentially doing that. Is that also not useful?
Well, I mean, if you have an organized boycott, maybe if you use it as a galvanizing opportunity to really have mass mobilizations, I mean, boycotts, you know, quite often lead to, you know, disasters because you end up with you know, a government that's not representative. And
so your strategy is to actually talk to people who are completely in disagreement with you on some issues, but in agreement with you on some other issues.
That's correct. I'm saying, you know, in effect, Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich alliance, where you have, where you fundamentally agree on the issues where the establishment agrees, on all of the issues that the, you know, Clintonites and the Bushites agree with each other, trade, corporate trade deals, wars, civil liberties infringements. Wall Street bailouts, all of those issues the current establishment agrees on. And I'm saying form a mirror image of that on the issues that we progressives agree with somebody like Ron Paul and make that the basis of, in effect, a new center. We're going to have disagreements.
Right.
Let's get rid of the easy problems. Let's get rid of the wars and the Wall Street domination of our economy. And then I think that we'll be in a much better place to take care of a lot of issues that we disagree with Ron Paul and his followers.
Well, you know, Sam, it seems as though the place where a lot of it's there's a lot of confusion around the whole Ron Paul candidacy is when you have folks like Tom Hartman not saying what you're saying, but actually defending him. I mean, Tom Hartman had this bizarre, lengthy article convincing or trying to convince his readers that Ron Paul is not actually a racist. This doesn't seem to serve much purpose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to, you know, to see what's in somebody's heart. You know, Ron Paul has claims that, you know, he robo-signed these things and so on. It certainly speaks.
But progressives are defending him as a person.
Right. At minimum, he has racists around him or had them for a significant period of time. I certainly detect that there's a high degree of homophobia.
Anti-Semitism as well, certainly, in his letters.
Yeah, well, although that's easily manipulated, and, you know, anti-Israeli statements are easily manipulated. I'm not asking progressives to say, you know, Ron Paul is the solution, just as I was adamantly opposed to saying that Barack Obama was somehow the solution. I'm saying that there is a really critical opportunity here for progressives to seize the moment and to make to reach out to Ron Paul supporters, who largely are very young people, and to coalesce and get through a huge chunk of what we say we want.
And so finally, Sam Husseini, how would you explain the mechanics of this? So say you want individuals, you would like to see individuals finding a single person that they can, even in their family or their neighbor, that they can make an agreement with about this election, that neither of them are going to vote for the major party candidates, because neither of the major party candidates offer anything much, but that they will vote for their own favorite third party candidate. Is there a place they should be recording this online, or are these just individual pacts, etc.?
Yeah, I set up a webpage, votepact.org, VOTEPACT, like you're making a pact with somebody else, .org. We're not attempting to connect people, you know, who they don't know on the internet, because, you know, this requires a high degree of trust, and a huge part of it is going I'm wanting people to reach out. I mean, what I'd love to see is people writing articles together, you know, saying, look, me and, you know, my brother or my cousin or my wife or my neighbor or, you know, my coworker have disagreed about all these issues politically, but we find ourselves in agreement right now. And, you know, rather than canceling out each other's votes, you know, one of us voting for the establishment Democrat and one of us voting for the establishment Republican, we're going to come together and we're both going to vote for the third party candidate or independent candidate of our choice. And you know, state their reasons and why they're doing this and so on. And I'd love to be publishing pieces like that at GoPAC.org.
Well, Sam Husseini, we'll link to your website from ours later today. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali. All the best.
Thank you. Sam Husseini is founder of VotePact.org. For Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Plato once said, one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. That's Plato. That's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.